Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, Chris Evans here. Thank you for downloading this week's podcast of The Best of the Breakfast Show with Sky from Virgin Radio. Coming up, Dame Harriet Walter tells us about starring in the incredible return of Talking Heads on BBC One. The dynamic married duo of Angelica Bell and Michael Underwood talk the launch of 500 Words, Black Lives Matter, and how teachers and kids can get involved, how we can all get involved. Entries open on Monday, the 29th of June, and rock god Mr. Roger Taylor discusses his brand new single, Isolation, which he wrote and recorded solo all the way during lockdown. All that still to come. Vassos, tell us who our first guest is, please.
This Wonder Woman has wowed us on stage and screen over and over again. From Sense and Sensibility to Succession, Lady Macbeth to Killing Eve, she really can do it all. Now she's back performing the legendary Alan Bennett monologue Soldiering On. Please welcome the amazing Dame Harriet Walker.
Good morning, Dame Harriet.
Hello.
Welcome to the show, and well done you on everything you've ever done in your whole life. When was the first time you acted in front of other people?
First time I acted, if you're talking about school, you know, real school, I remember, you know, they said, who wants to be in the school play? And I hid under the desk. I really did not want to act, and I did not want to show off. And when I finally got on the stage, you know, dragged on, I played a very small part as a maid. And my first professional job was dressed up as a squirrel being cooked in a pot in a children's play.
There are so many questions there all of a sudden. But what was the transition from hiding under the desk to doing it for a living?
I mean, just teachers encouraging me, I think. Somebody saw something in me. And I just, you know, I wanted attention, basically, didn't I? Don't all kids want attention?
Well, they do. But I mean, you know, like football coaches say, you know, even, you know, in 9-year-olds, 10-year-olds, they can see future superstars because they are just so they play the game. They inhabit their talent so differently to other people with lesser talent. What do you sense it's the same? Because now you're in a position to observe that in others.
Well, the funny thing is that I don't know if we're unique in our profession, but there is a real slow burn possible as well. You can have the instant, you know, obvious stars who jump out at you. And you can have people like me who are really quite a slow burn. I kind of grew up really slowly. I didn't get into any drama schools first time round.
Right.
And the second time round, I came back. I just had a lot more confidence. And the guy said, I don't know what's happened to you in the last year, but you've changed. And, you know, it was just confidence. I just managed to become a bit more extrovert. So I do think with acting, I sometimes look at the ones who I don't think are great. And I think, don't judge them yet. They might turn out good when they're 30, you know. I mean, it's quite a slow burn sometimes.
So for people who are brand new to Talking Heads, I remember it first time around, of course I do. Can you explain what it is, please?
What, my particular one?
No, just generally, oeuvre of Talking Heads.
Yeah, Talking Heads is like you get an individual person who confides in you, like you and the audience are their best friend or an interviewer or a long-lost friend. You kind of decide who you're talking to, and you tell them an incident in your life or a time in your life that it's a story of how something very much changed in your life. And you, the audience, watch this person who hasn't quite got it about themselves, and they're telling their story like they think they're in control of the story and know what's happened. But actually, all the while, the audience can see there are cracks in the story and it's not quite how they think it is. And so you have a set of 5 to 6 monologues which have a little time jump in the middle. Where something new has happened, a new development in the story has happened, and the person has just changed slightly and gone into a slightly different mood or a different place. And by the end, they've learned quite a huge amount, but it's just a narrative. All you've got is them talking and describing other people, and hopefully that other world comes to life for the audience.
And to write one of these is something, but he wrote 10, didn't he? And he's written another two, so we have 12 to enjoy now.
I think he's actually written way more than that, but yes, I mean, enormous amount and all very different.
And which one did you get to inhabit?
I got to inhabit Muriel. Muriel Carpenter.
Right.
Muriel Carpenter, who is a widow, we find out, with two children, we find out. And she's very well healed and posh and nice and does things for local charities. And you think, oh, I know her. And then bit by bit, you see the cracks and life isn't quite what either you or she thinks it is.
And your whole prep for this involved a lockdown haircut. Tell us about that.
Well, she is quite a neat, nice-looking lady, and my hair had gone very, very shaggy and long. And, of course, because of social distancing, I wasn't allowed to have a haircut, and nor was anyone at the BBC allowed to cut my hair in the makeup room. So we had a Zoom meeting with the hair and makeup, and my husband was in the kitchen with me, and I bought a pair of scissors and thinning scissors online. And she said, OK, hold up this chunk in your left hand and move the scissors towards your right hand. And bit there. There's a bit there hanging down. Can you see? Yeah, now lift it up. Yep. And until I look faintly all right. And I wasn't too frightened because my hair grows extremely quickly and I've got lots of hats. So I thought it's not the end of the world if it's terrible, but it looks rather nice. I think you'll find if
okay.
you tune in.
And this is your hubby, Guy Paul, yes?
Guy Paul, American actor,
yeah.
not used to trimming hair, but he learned a new craft.
But he has a very hairdressery name, Guy Paul. I can imagine
I know,
that, can't
is
you?
Good, isn't it?
Yes,
it's
Tony
and Guy. For the first time I met him, he and this other actor called Tony came into the room, and we always called them Tony and Guy.
Oh, listen, it was worth the interview anyway, but for that, oh, goodness me, absolutely. Dame Harriet, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Oh, what a superstar.
Tune in to all of them. They're all going to be great.
Yeah, well, they're available now, aren't they? Talking Heads starts tonight on BBC One at 9 p.m. Soldiering On airs on Thursday, BBC One at 7:30 p.m. But all these monologues, which are genius, they were first time round, can't wait to see them second time round, are available on BBC iPlayer now. Once again, Talking Heads starts tonight, BBC One night at 9 p.m. Soldiering On airs with Dame Harriet on Thursday, BBC One at 7:30 p.m. But you can watch them all. What a treat to have these all available via the BBC iPlayer right now.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Vassos, over to you.
Not content with being part of one of the greatest bands ever, our next guest is a hugely popular solo artist, writing and recording his new single, Isolation. In isolation, please welcome the almost annoyingly talented living legend that is Roger Taylor.
Good morning, Mr. Annoying.
Good morning, Chris. How are you?
Very well. We talked to you a few weeks ago. How have you been since, Roger? What's been going down?
Well, you know, obviously, we were stuck away in Cornwall. It was a lovely place to be stuck. And I was stuck in the garden shed there. And I wrote this song. But, you know, it's like everybody, you know, it was a strange time. And we were all slightly anxious. We didn't know quite what was happening, like everybody else. And that's where it sort of how it was born, really.
Now, because you were on your own in your garden shed, you had to play all the instruments yourself. Now, if obviously, this may sound like a stupid question, but are the drums your first instrument, your go-to instrument?
No, totally, they are. But it's very hard to write songs on drums, you know, as you can imagine. So I really started off with that sort of heartbeat kind of drum.
Right.
That's how it started, really, you know, and a bit of piano, a bit of guitar. But
okay, and from a sort
I
of...
I didn't actually record it till I got back to the Surrey Hills.
Right.
In my studio.
From a chronological point of view, drums first, you know, when did the young Roger Taylor's palm first hold a drumstick, and what was the next instrument on from those?
Well, it was actually a big wooden knitting needle, and with my mum's pots and pans, all her, in a saucepan upside down, and I had an enormous drum kit like that, you know, because she had quite lots of pots and pans, and I had about 12 drums in that kit, and I used to play along to Roy Orbison records, etc., you know.
And do you remember your first ever proper drum?
Yeah, my first drum kit was sort of put together with my dad. It was really sort of second-hand, sort of cheap drums, and then I eventually got a Premier Gold Sparkle
kit
second-hand.
Wow.
But then when I actually made some money, people kept giving me drum kits, you know, it's just the way the world is, isn't it?
It is, it's incredible. I mean, did you ever get to the point where they paid you to use their drum kits?
No. You always used a kit that you wanted, you know. I always wanted a Ludwig drum kit like Ringo had, and, you know, and then they gave me loads of them.
Right, now, okay, so on from that, first other instrument, keyboards, guitar, which ones?
Oh, I tried playing guitar, actually, as a kid, and I found I was much better at drums.
When you're around somebody like Freddie and Brian, though, do you have to back off the keyboards and the strings, you know, and maybe have a go when they're not looking?
Yeah, well, definitely. I met Brian and immediately knew I wanted to play with him because he's such a brilliant guitar player. Right. And Freddie actually turned out to be a great piano player, and that was really...
Great. Roger, lovely news, lovely song. We get what you mean about the heartbeat, the rhythm. It's gorgeous, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, well, thank you. Thanks, yeah. It was something born out of, you know, the situation that everybody was stuck in, really.
Yeah,
you know?
And some people still are.
Weird,
and,
isn't it?
Yeah, and our thoughts and best wishes go out to those guys. And, of course, you would have been... You'd just about have finished a world tour, wouldn't you, now-ish?
Well, yeah, we were due to play all over Europe and in the O2. We had a whole load of nights in the O2. And obviously, you know, everything was cancelled. All theatres were cancelled, everything. But so what we've done is postpone it, and we're doing exactly that same tour next year in the same dates and the same places. So
nice.
That's literally been... And, you know, I say that hoping that everything's going to go back to normal with that, and we're going to be able to go to concerts and festivals, etc., etc.
Well, let's keep saying our prayers, and hopefully that will happen sooner rather than later. Roger, lovely to talk to you, my friend.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
As we are constantly reminded, if we look hard enough, children are total geniuses. So listen up, geniuses. Today sees the launch of a very special 500 words competition, and here to tell us about it are the CBBC superstars, the MasterChef maestros, the power couple to end all power couples, Angelica Bell and Michael Underwood.
Good morning, Angelica. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning.
Oh, who wrote that intro? I've not had an intro like that ever.
I don't know. We'll frame it for you. We can send it to you. I'll drop it off on the way
home.
Because now I know where you live.
I know. I thought you were coming to do the garden.
Sorry. I'll make it around this afternoon. I will. That's a deal. I have to do that at least to thank you for what you're doing for 500 words. 500 words. We have this very special pop. It's a pop-up 500 words. It'll be gone before you know it. Blink and you will miss it. Angelica, tell us how the competition spans, please, because we launched it today, but it doesn't start today.
No, it doesn't. This is sort of like the warm-up. We've launched the website today. It's amazing. 500words.me. And let me say a special thank you to everyone who's been working tirelessly behind the scenes, getting this done in the, 3 days. And the website has all the information you need on there, but we want to empower the young people. You know, Michael, like you said, we've worked with young people for years and years and years. And they're so honest and open, and we thought this is a great time, bringing 500 words forward into a new era, to be reactive to what's going on. So we've launched a website giving everyone an idea of what they can think about, 500 words about Black Lives Matter. And then submissions are going to start next week, the 29th until the 3rd. So we've got a week for people to, you know, this week for people to get their ideas together. Could be anything, story, prose, you know, stream of consciousness, whatever, and start getting those stories into us. 500 words. No more.
Okay, and it doesn't have to be 500 words, so it can be less. It can be poetry, it can be lyrical, it can be anything you damn well like. Now, Michael is also a teacher, an actual working teacher. What time do you have to be at school today, sir?
Do you know what? I should really be at school right now. I'm not going to lie. I should be preparing, Chris. So as soon as we finish this interview, I'm going to be in the car getting straight over to the school and just getting sorted for today. That's what should be happening.
Right, you say that and I believe you because I know it to be the truth. But also, not the second you get there, but quite soon after you get there, you're going to have to break off from being an actual teacher at your actual school to appear live on This Morning. Now, I'm not sure if a teacher's ever done that before.
No, this could be a first. It could well be a first. The good thing about it is we've timed it so it goes into the break. So it's during break time. So I get to send the children off for a bit of a breather out in the playground, and then I can sort of take some time to then promote 500words.me to the audience of This Morning. So hopefully the timings will work out so that I won't have a class full of children while I'm trying to chat to Philip, which actually could be possible. They probably don't want to go out, and they will just hang around if they know that's what I'm going to be doing.
And so whilst Michael's taking a break at school to appear on This Morning, Angelica, you are going to be with him virtually. Have you thought about your This Morning Skype/Zoom backdrop? Have you rejudged the kitchen, or what are we going to see this morning on This Morning?
Listen, you know, I have actually thought about it. I think I'm going to sit on the floor and have a white wall behind me because I don't want anyone saying, oh, she's got one of those IKEA pictures. I don't want any of that. I don't want any headlines. I want to stick to the narrative. We're talking about 500 million. I don't want anyone talking about what I've got. So I'm actually going to sit on the floor. I'm not even going to do my hair and makeup.
All right. So, Michael, as a teacher, you know, if you were setting this assignment in class, what kinds of inspiration would you give to your kids? What kind of bullet points would you say, look, this might help, that might help? Because in 500 words in the past, over the last 10 years, you know, we've done writing workshops where, you know, if people are struggling to get started, it's just a question of unlocking the door. And we play this game where we have this basket, and in the basket are loads of different toys, and we just pull out a toy and say, okay, this toy is your main character, the next toy is the villain, and the next one is the helper, and the next one is the thing. It doesn't matter how you get started. Well, some people get stuck and can't start, so it's our job to help them to achieve that. How might you do it as an actual teacher?
Well, it's interesting. I mean, I've, in the past, with my class, I always make a point of highlighting subjects that have happened, like big deals that are in the papers or have made the headlines. And I encourage them to have a discussion. I mean, sometimes I'll do a whole hour lesson and it would just be us talking. It'll be a conversation between me and the children in my class. And that can often help other children by hearing actually the thoughts and feelings of their friend or the person that's in the classroom, and that can help stimulate something. And you know what one child says that makes the next child go, oh yeah, but what about this, and why does that happen, and why did that person think that? And that's one way of doing it. Another thing I've done is, with a topic that can be quite tricky to sort of get a grasp of or to get a start of, is to try and put it in there so they can understand it. So for example, with Black Lives Matter, I would look at explaining fairness. Children know fairness, actually. They understand what fairness is. And so you can go in at that angle. You know, if I asked you to swim two laps or two lengths of a swimming pool and I'd give you a bag of chocolate, but then I went to the next child and said, you can have a bag of chocolate, but you've got to swim four lengths, is that fair? Why am I making that child work that bit harder to get the same thing that the other child's getting? And you start from a basis like that. And that's quite a good way to begin and looking at, is it fair? What is fairness? And using something that children can get a grasp of, and hopefully then they can then use that to stimulate what they're going to write about.
So it does sound like you two are further apart than you actually are. Are you next to each other?
We're in another room. She's in the room next to me.
That's the only way this can work, if we're separated.
We were told it's better for sound on the radio. That's it. I don't know. We're just, you know, we're in different rooms.
You're both brilliant. Thank you for saying yes to being the brand new host of the first ever 500 Words pop-up.
Oh, Chris, before we go,
yes,
one more thing.
Off you go.
500words.me, 500words.me. Check that website out. But also, we didn't mention there were two age ranges.
Yeah.
So 5 to 9 is the one group. And then we've got young people 10 to 13 is the second group. So it's really important. It's open to all children, all backgrounds, all ethnicities. We want you all to get involved if you fit into those age ranges.
Get
writing now and get them in from next Monday.
Thank you very much. It is the most important 500 words we've ever held. 500 words of Black Lives Matter. Go to 500words.me. And this morning, Angelica Bell and Michael Underwood. Woohoo!
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage.
Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
So we've heard from three guests already, but there's still so much good stuff to come, including five of the sharpest brains in journalism. Stig Abel, Asma Mir, Matt Chorley, Giles Corran and Marilla Frostrop all chatting about their respective new shows on Times Radio. And British TV royalty Denise Welsh tells us about her new book, The Unwelcome Visitor, which unflinchingly details her experiences with depression and booze across 30 years. All that's still to come, so let's get right back to it. Vassos, who is next?
For years, she's been lighting up our screens and now she's enlightening our bookshelves. Her revealing memoir, The Unwelcome Visitor, Depression and How I Survive It, is out today. So please welcome the always refreshingly honest Denise Welsh.
Good morning, Denise.
Yay. Hi, guys.
How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. I'm very hot and sweaty, which is a lovely, attractive image for you to have. Well, but it's, I crave this weather, and then I'm afraid the menopausal me can't handle it.
Okay, it's funny you talk about images, because the first thing I wanted to talk to you about today was the fact that the book is fantastic. It's absolutely fantastic.
It's such
an amazing read for so many reasons. But before all that, look at that cover shot. I mean, I don't know. I mean, Denise, that you look stunning. That is a beautiful, beautiful cover shot.
Well, thank you. I also had a severe dose of man flu that day as well, so I'm even more flattered that you
Oh, you don't know what man flu is. You don't know you're born, you women. But seriously, that's a cracking cover shot.
I wanted the cover to represent the book, Chris. I wanted the cover to be, you know, there's always been photos of me in a sort of like a, you know, a stretchy dress with a big smile and the hands on the hips. And I wanted this book to be about depression, but not depressing, because I think it's so important that it is hopeful.
I hope
that you found that.
It's quite a clinical cover. It's a beautiful cover. It's clinical. It's clean. It's serene. And it's a fantastic welcome, Matt, to what's in the book. I found the book a duologue, if you don't mind me saying. Between your alcoholism and your depression, depression being, of course, the unwelcome visitor, and it's a parallel story of booze and being sent crazy by your own mind. So let's talk about first of all the depression, which is the unwelcome visitor. In case people don't know, any visitors around today? Perhaps
no. There's no visitors around today, and the visitor hasn't been during lockdown. And that's interesting for a lot of people who don't understand clinical depression, that my depression, depression mainly clinical, falls into two camps, endogenous and reactive. Reactive is exactly as it says on the tin. You're reacting to a certain set of circumstances that brings on your mental illness. With endogenous depression, I very rarely have any control of it. And so I can, like the episode that spawned the book, when I got poorly on the way to Newcastle last September and I picked up my phone and chronicled an episode of depression in real time. And that, you know, I was in the car on the way up to see my beloved sister with Matty's godchildren in the car. We were having a chaotic, lovely, funny drive up. And by the time I just hit Newcastle, my hands started to tingle. I got a metallic taste in my mouth, which is often what heralds my illness. And I can feel the colour start to leave my life is the best description for me. And this black, horrible thing comes over me. And once that unwelcome visitor has got his foot in the door, I just have to wait till he leaves. Yeah. And that's why the subtitle is Depression and How I Survive It. It's not how to survive it, because I'm not a medic. But it's how I survive it. And if people can gain solace by knowing they're not alone and by understanding the illness a bit more, that's the reason that I did the book, Chris.
Right, now here's me talking to me. So if I'm listening to this show now, this is me talking to me. Okay, whoever you are, wherever you're listening, it might sound like a heavy burden, and it is a heavy and darker burden, hard to come by. But it's not a heavy book. It's a brilliant book. It's a page turner. It's funny. It's outrageous. It's exactly what you want from Denise. And and she wears her heart on her sleeve. At one point, Denise, I've got to tell you, I thought I was going to get a mention or two.
Well, we did have a couple of nights, if I remember, back in the Groucho Club.
Here we go.
When I used to drink and before you had 100 children.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I do remember, I think there was one particular night with you, me and Paul Gascoigne. So I don't think people need much to conjure up that image.
Exactly. I was sort of balancing on the precipice, probably the next page, definitely the next chapter.
Well, no, because the next morning after we had one of those wild nights, I was filming in a hot air balloon with Ricky Tomlinson and Bernard Cribbins, the Chuckle Brothers.
I know, about 200 miles from where I left you at 3 a.m. a couple of hours before. Anyway, Denise, please come back, literally come back on next week. By the way,
I would love to.
It's the only book I've ever read where there are two blokes in it. One's called Leicester, one's called Lincoln. So Leicester and Lincoln, you two get a shout out as well.
How many counties can you get in? Yeah.
By the way, I think I've had a few nights with Lincoln as well, you know.
I think you have. To be continued.
Okay, to be continued. All right. Denise Welsh, it is a cracking read. The Unwelcome Visitor, Depression and How I Survive It. Heavy subject, but a brilliantly written book with lots of levity and lots of enlightenment.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Phil and Holly, Anton Deck, Jay-Z and Beyonce.
They kind of love this.
Watch your backs because there's a new top team in town. From 6 a.m. on Monday, they'll be tearing up the airwaves on the brand new Times Radio. And here to tell us how they aren't nervous at all are Breakfast Radio's new power couple. It's the wonderful Stig Abel and Asmamir.
Yeah. Hi, power couple. It's like having Michelle and Barack in here. It's quite incredible.
And like some of those couples, we might actually like each other in
real life. Oh, and there is the cutting wit that you can enjoy from 6 a.m. on Monday morning on Times Radio. Hello, you two.
Hello.
Talked to you about just over a week ago, both of you. What's happened since to do with the Times Radio breakfast show?
Well, we've been practicing a bit, haven't we?
We have.
And we've been great.
That's what we keep telling ourselves. We say,
we've been really good. I'd listen.
We've got to make sure the actual thing works. So as I'm sure you remember when this was launched back in the day, the thing you most think about isn't, will I be able to jabber on for a few hours? And Asma and I feel fairly confident that
we can jabber on.
That's what you're the king of jabbering on, Chris.
This isn't classic conversation.
We're not worried about that bit. We just want to make sure the thing actually functions.
Yeah.
So what, technically? You mean?
Technically, just so we go on air and it all works.
There's a lot of buttons to press.
Okay.
Yeah, not by us, happily.
Now, Asma, you're working with Stig. Stig's like player manager because you're also involved in the architecture of what's going on, aren't you?
We've just been talking about that.
We have. Yeah. I'm just checking that he cannot, just checking that you can't fire me. Is that right?
Yeah.
Good.
The only good thing about my role in that respect, I think, is I can moan to different people in a slightly different way. So Asma and I can moan as presenters, and then I can go on a different call and moan in a different way. That's the only advantage.
Hey, have a word.
The other thing, we've learnt a bit about each other as we've gone.
Tell us about that.
Asma was a geek.
Yeah.
And nearly a goth when she was growing up.
Hang on a minute. Once a geek, always a geek or not?
I think so, yeah.
Once a goth, always a goth?
No, definitely not.
Even at the Times Radio Christmas Party 2020.
Is there going to be one?
There has to be, isn't there?
Socially distanced.
It'll just be a Zoom call.
not another one.
Tell us about your geeky days.
I just stayed in my room and I did lots of studying and reading books. And I didn't have a typical teenage life that my older sister had. I mean, she was going crazy. She was a new romantic. She was like, going to Duran Duran concerts. I'm really aging myself here. But anyway, and I didn't. I just stayed in my room, as the water boys would say.
Oh, that's nice. But so you gestured it over to Stig when you said my elder sister. Is there any kind of comparison with your elder sister and Stig?
No, definitely not, because he's younger than me.
All right. Okay. Yeah. Got that.
I was into heavy metal. I was trying to tell Asma about that.
Hang on a minute. There are different layers, different stratum of heavy metal. How heavy was your metal?
It got fairly heavy at one point, but I was into some fairly strange bands that you won't have heard of. But I was also into like Metallica and Guns N' Roses. You've got to remember, Chris, that I was growing up when you were bringing Britpop to the nation.
Jangly guitars and Union Jacks, my friend.
Exactly. And I was sort of thinking, well, I quite like guitar music, but this isn't enough. This is a bit soft. This is too soft for me, Chris Evans, I used to shout in my bedroom.
I could hear you.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
And that was the beginning of my issues.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, that voice began to doubt in your head, and I placed
still
it there.
Yeah, still yeah. Just before you both came in, we enjoyed our first deep clean, a mid-show deep clean, so thanks for that.
Is that an our honour?
Yeah, thanks very much.
Lovely disinfectant smell in here.
That was Chris.
Yeah, I think we used an odourless deep clean anyway, so I can only apologise. But Mira, Marvellous Mira, who is an amazing exec producer, by the way. Not available, not even for, like, you know, on loan. None of that nonsense going on, right? But Mira, and I promised Mira I would behave during the final part of our conversation with Stig and Asma here.
Oh, no.
But Mira came in, and she told me something, and I said, oh, wow. So, obviously, this is, you've been keeping this back, and this is an exclusive, and this is what we're going to talk about. And she talked and talked and talked and talked. And
she looks nervous. Mira looks nervous.
We've had this kind of conversation before, when I know that she's talking about something, but at the end of it, she's going to say, but you can't mention it. But this wasn't one of those times. And she talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked and talked. And they said, but you really can't mention it. I'm like, okay. So I don't know why she told me that.
No, I don't know why she told you that.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I do. No one. Yeah, we got. We,
Asma, you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
And we really, really can't talk about it.
No.
We got a good old big thing to kick us off.
Yeah.
Is the thing we can't talk about on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll do, really.
I could add to that, but then people would know what we're talking about.
Yeah, you don't want to do that.
Don't want to do that.
No. You don't want a clue for Puzzler Asma.
We could play Hangman, couldn't we?
That is so retro. I love that. Hang on
a minute. You've got to be careful with your retro thing, because you said you didn't want to age yourself before.
That's true.
Remember, there's a lot of older people than us listening. So, well, the one thing that a mutual friend of ours, Stig, always on the radio, always talks about how old he is. He's 46. Right.
Okay.
How do you think people who are 70 odd, who love the radio, feel about it? It's just not a conversation. Just don't even go there.
Do you want to be ageless, do you think?
Homer Simpson. Do you know how old do you think Homer Simpson is? And has always been?
Oh, 48.
37.
No. Oh.
He doesn't look great for 37, doesn't he?
No, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't.
All right. Just get close to the mic again, 1 second. Just before you go, the good old big thing that you have for your first show, what time might that be happening?
That will be 8:05 in the morning on Monday, the 29th of January.
And January?
June.
It's all going so well. Now, Vassos, what's that called that just happened there? That's called your favourite thing in the whole wide world. The Japanese ambush.
Oh, the Japanese ambush.
It's going so well. You thought you were back to base and suddenly... There you go.
I mean, look, I'm hoping that... 29th of June. I'm hoping on the 29th of January...
June.
8:05,
June.
I'm hoping on the 29th of January, we're going to have a really good guest.
29th of January, Stig will be back.
I feel fairly confident we're going to have a really good guest then.
Editing the TLS.
Yeah.
Round the corner.
All right.
don't get in the hump. So
8:05, June, Monday.
Right. Okay, so the station goes on the air at 6, right?
Yes.
But at 8:05, a big old thing happening. Okay,
yes.
And you won't want to miss that. And what we'll do... If this is okay with everybody, we will simulcast that bit. So we will put you on Virgin Radio here at the same time.
Oh my goodness!
Because we would want to hear that too.
Yeah,
so.
And we want to. We're going to make it. We're going to go off now,
lovely,
and we're going to try and make sure that bit's good.
Yeah,
better happen.
And we don't have till January. Apparently, we've only got 4 days to make.
If that bit is cancelled, you need to let me know, because I'll play some more Freebird or something like that,
yeah.
Or maybe some Metallica.
Play some Metallica.
Yeah, but if that bit is still on, we will simulcast it. I'll say, right, we're going to go simulcast for Times Radio, because the big old thing that we couldn't talk about is about to happen, and this is what it is.
And here it is.
And you will not be disappointed.
Would you ever play Metallica, Chris?
What?
We played
Metallica 2 days ago.
Oh, what'd you play?
I can't remember, to be honest. Oh. Sandman.
Enter Sandman.
Mr. Sandman.
That wasn't Metallica.
But they did do a song called Sandman.
Enter Sandman.
And we did play it.
Well done.
All right.
I'll shut up now.
No, don't. That's not your job.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Our next guest is possibly one of Westminster's most connected people. If you're a politician and he doesn't know who you are, then quite frankly, you must try harder. The wait is almost over as Times Radio launches next Monday at 6 a.m. And here to tell us what they've got up their sleeve is the future maestro of mid-morning. It's Matt Chorley.
Good morning, future maestro of mid-mornings, Matt Chorley.
Good morning, Chris.
How are you?
I'm very good.
Thanks.
I'm very good.
All right, so tell us about your new show a week today.
So it's Monday to Thursday, 10 till 1, and it's politics, but in a sort of more relaxed way, we hope. So it's going to be slightly more entertaining. You know, politics is important. You know, everyone, I think, has got quite involved in politics in the last, you know, it was Brexit and now coronavirus. You know, it's big stuff, but it doesn't have to be boring. It's serious stuff, but we don't have to take it too seriously.
Yeah, okay, I got that completely. And now you've got a bit of previous as far as levity and what you do for a living is concerned.
Yes. So in my previous life, up until a couple of weeks ago, I used to write the Red Box morning email for the Times. I used to try and explain what's going on in politics and occasionally used to try to explain.
You just sound tired talking
quite
about it.
Quite often I used to basically admit that I didn't know what was going on. And right. people found that reassuring, that even someone in Westminster knew what was going on. And I used to include some jokes in there. And this sort of slightly snowballed. So last year I ended up doing a stand-up tour where I went around the country basically admitting nobody knew what was going on. And people seem to like it. So I'm hoping to bring a bit of that to the show as well.
And it wasn't just 20 minutes, it was a two-hour show, wasn't it?
Yeah.
So how do you get the confidence to do a whole two-hour show when people have been sort of paring that craft down, you know, on the comedy circuit for years and years and years? You've been writing for The Times, you've been quite funny, people think, oh, he's a funny guy, and you managed to pull off a very successful tour.
Well, it was quite successful. It was sort of pleasantly... basically, years and years and years and years ago, while I was at the Taunton Times, me and two mates, we formed a comedy sketch group. We went to Edinburgh... big day out, sold out run at the Edinburgh Festival, and then we were at a sitcom for Radio 4 that they didn't want, and then we got proper jobs and girlfriends and wives, and you know,
so it's already in the blood then,
basically. And it was sort of blind arrogance, really. I thought, I'll go and do this and see if people like it, and it turned out people did.
So you've worked for The Times, you're now working for Times Radio, the DNA of The Times will be, well, Times Radio will be riven with what's been going on for the last, what, I don't know, how many hundred years,
230 something years,
30 odd years. And you've been there for 4 years?
Yeah.
Ish. Okay, so, and what is the vibe in the building? Because I know what the vibe is like here from a radio point of view. What's it like from a print point of view?
It's been, some of my print colleagues are some of the most cynical people I know, but they are really excited about it. It's been one of the things I've been most pleasantly surprised about. And most people who work in newspapers quite like the idea of doing a bit of broadcasting as well. And actually the buy-in has been great. So one of the things that we're going to do in my show at midday is sort of stop the show almost and look at what is on the Times website, update at midday, and get the people who've just been reporting on the latest stuff on the show to really talk it through.
So I didn't know how inclusive it was going to be. I thought, is it parallel or does it cross over? And it massively crosses over.
I think it will do. And I think it will vary from show to show, and obviously trying to fit around the deadlines that reporters are working on. So I think if you tried to get the person who's writing the front page story for the paper on air at 7 o'clock at night, then that's going to be quite difficult. So try to work around that. So I know the website updates at midday. That's the point when journalists should be least busy and most accommodating when we give them a ring, so you come on air.
So as far as the runners and riders are concerned, because there was the talk about the weekend in the papers, you know, some Tories are thinking the unthinkable, then a big picture of Boris Johnson with his head in his hands, you know, and runners and riders, you know, Rishi Sunak, Matt Hancock and Dominic Raab, will you be talking about things like that?
Yeah, I think so. And I think just asking questions like, so I've also been hosting the Red Box podcast, and the episode last week, we asked the question, what is Rishi Sunak up to? There's been all this sort of muttering.
What is he up to?
Because somebody's always got to be up to something. And actually, the question is he just doing what he should be doing? You know, he's a presentable guy. He could string a sentence together. He's spending lots of money, which tends to make you quite popular. And is there any more to it than that? And I think it is extraordinary that only a few months ago, 6 months ago this month, Boris Johnson won this extraordinary, unexpected
landslide
victory. And how quickly things move, that already people are thinking, well, maybe he doesn't fight the next election. I mean, I would be astonished if he didn't do that. But we've been astonished quite a lot in politics.
Do you have any predictions for the next few weeks in politics?
I think the tussle between Boris Johnson and Keir Starmer at PMQs is really interesting. And Keir Starmer seemed to have a bit of the upper hand to start with. Boris Johnson has found a way to wrong foot him and needle him a bit last week by sort of basically taking the mick about him being a lawyer. And that has made politics much, not just because not everything's about PMQs, but just politics more broadly. It's made politics much more interesting.
It has, hasn't it? And, you know, proper personalities in there again, which helps massively because, you know, you put a face to it, suddenly you can...
With the old press conferences every night, you know, people know who these people are. Even last year when I was doing the stand-up show, I was introducing people to Dominic Raab and Pritchard, but nobody really knew who they were. And all they learned from me was daft stuff they'd done. Whereas now there's like a cast of characters that we can talk about and people know who these people are.
And another cast of characters on the other side of the microphone.
Exactly
Times Radio.
Right.
Okay, mate, well, lovely to talk to you.
It's good to see you.
Good luck.
We've got much nicer views up here than we've got. But...
Well, yeah, anytime you want to pop up for a little chat, a little breathing and we can do a little breathing technique and a little bit of...
Maybe I should. Maybe next week. Gym jams on, shoes off. Come up here for a bit of breathing.
Okay. Times Radio launches Monday, 29th of June. Everybody's far too relaxed. I'm not far too relaxed, but I'm like, you know, they're all so chilled and cool and happy in their own skin. Times Radio launches Monday, 29th of June. That's a week today, 6 a.m. mid-mornings, Monday to Thursday. Chat, we're talking to you there. Matt Chorley will be in the chair. Matt Chorley in charge, in the chair, in the hot seat. on Times Radio.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
You've heard her iconic voice across years of television, radio, ads, and even as the voice of the lifts in your local train station. Times Radio is the new home for the best voice in the business. Please welcome afternoon presenter and all-around superstar, the marvellous Mariella Frostrup.
Good morning, Mariella.
Good morning, Chris Evans. Thank you very much for having me.
So tell us about your obvious trepidation and nervousness, which means you care about what's going to unfold on the radio to the world. Because now if you're on the radio anywhere, you're on the radio in the world from next Monday.
Yes, well, I am quite nervous. I've had a long career broadcasting, but not very much of it has been live. And though I really love the kind of, I love the fact that people can't say, can you go back and do that again? But actually now I'm starting to think that that was quite a luxury. And I should have made more of it.
I've been a little more thankful for it.
Been very grateful for it. Last night, for example, I went to bed at about 11 o'clock thinking, got to be up early for Chris, you know, I want to be on sparkling form. And I woke up at a, and thought, yeah, I feel good. Yeah, probably, clearly had a good sleep. And I lifted off my eye mask and it was 1:15 a.m. So to say that I'm kind of, you know, in a state of nervous exhaustion would be to underestimate the state I'm in. But I was hoping you might give me a masterclass because you are the master.
Well,
that's the only reason I'm here, Chris.
Thank you very much. It's not the first conversation I've had along those lines, on the air or off the air. It's like I've been saying
to you. Stig get here before me?
Yeah, well, Stig and I have been chatting for months about this, but because he's one of the architects behind it all as well, isn't he? No, but it's just your show is on from.
My show is. Oh, thank you very much. Yes, my show is on from 1 p.m. Mm-hmm. until 4 p.m. Very civilized slot, actually.
Monday through Thursday.
I was going to say that. Yeah. Monday through Thursday. But what happened was my mind drifted and I thought of all of those amazing lunches that I'm not going to have because lunch is my favourite meal.
No, but it's even better because you get to start an early tea. Well, we can be in the best restaurant in town for 5 o'clock, you and I. It'd be just like the old days.
I love you, Chris, because you always put a positive spin on everything. No, I think it's a great slot. I'm very happy to be on at that time. And we're going to be a sort of a slight respite from full news, if you will, not being a full news broadcaster. And the real joy is that now that I'm not going to be splitting my time between my old job and this new job, which was slightly on the cards at the beginning, I'm now going to do every single thing I love in this programme. So I'm going to have film and music and books and lifestyle stories and stories about women and stories sideways from the news. And I mean, what an incredible thing at the ripe old age of 57.
It's the best excuse to really deep dive into the things that you love.
When did you become so wise, Chris Evans?
About a minute ago. I thought, what the heck am I going to say to Mariella that sounds vaguely intelligent?
Do you remember? No, but I think of you a lot, you know, because I think you're one of those examples of people who change a lot. And we all think we're not going to change from a certain point in our adulthood, don't we?
Yeah.
And I remember you coming to my flat in West London years and years ago. We were doing an interview for Vogue magazine, was it?
Yeah.
And I remember you sitting there and telling me, you were not in a good place really at the time, but I remember you telling me absolutely adamantly you were never going to get married, you were never going to have children, you were never going to do anything like that, that was for other people. And now look at you, you smug married dad.
Yeah, I have 1 million children and there you go. No, you're absolutely right.
But I was thinking maybe you could come and talk to me in return the favour and talk to me about the books that you've loved throughout your life. Would you do that?
But now as a result of having many of the presenters on who are going to be gracing the airwaves of Times Radio from next Monday, I've agreed to be on all your shows. So that's not going to be fantastic for your listeners.
Okay, but surely.
Yes, come on, surely.
Surely. Surely I should be first.
Yeah.
For old time's sakes, if nothing else.
Well, I'll put you on the list.
Oh,
right, now, come on. 1 till 4, Monday through Thursday, from next Monday on Times Radio, Mariella Frostrup. Do you have a wingman, wingwoman? Do you have regular contributors?
Well, I thought maybe you.
Yeah, that's well, what I'm going to stick around for a while, can I?
No, it's just little old me, but I will have lots of regular guests who come in on a weekly basis, which is part of what I'm looking forward to, because I think to just sit there on my own would be very lonely. And you've always had a kind of regular team. Always thought that's such a nice thing, you know, because there's a sort of camaraderie and everything. I was hoping to hang out and wait for your next very special guest. Harriet, can I say?
Yep.
Harriet Waters.
Yep.
Because, God, wasn't she brilliant as Dasha?
Yep.
Did you see that?
No, of course I did. She's amazing. Yeah. She's not going to be here, by the way.
Isn't she? No, of course she's not. Nobody's
she's virtual.
Here. Yeah.
All the times radio people are allowed to come on the air, you know, and in the studio because you're allowed in the building. Because
we breathe the same air.
That's what it is.
I'd like to see your mask.
We have many. We have several. We have a choice.
I've got some designer ones. It's apparently the new thing I keep being sent.
We have a mask swatch.
Do you wear one that matches your outfit?
Do you know what? I've never actually worn one.
Yeah, well, I thought you were going to say that, actually, Chris.
Yeah, I'm surrounded by nothing but at home because of Noah's thing.
I'm picking up so many tips today, Chris.
Listen,
I'd like to say they were things to do, but it might be the opposite.
As Terry once said to me, they either like you or they don't.
Oh, great. That's really going to help my sleeping tonight. Yeah, thanks.
No, and people do like you, Mariella, and I bet they tune in their millions. I bet they do.
Even a couple of hundred would be good day one.
Yeah, that's it's all fine.
I'm keeping the bar low.
But it's master gardening, isn't it? That's what it is. You're not in the potting shed. You're in the open fields and you're sowing the seeds and you can see what gets to grow.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Let's continue to count down to the launch of Times Radio with another of their top drawer presenters. He's the restaurant critic with a tongue sharper than a carving knife. He'll be taking care of the airwaves on Friday afternoons. Please welcome the wit and wisdom of the one and only Giles Corran.
Good morning, Giles.
Hello. Gosh, that's too much of a build-up for me. I'm so terrified I'm going to be boring. You can't introduce me like that.
We have, so you can't be. It's not allowed.
Well, who knows? I don't know. It's a terrifying prospect. I love the idea that I'm one of the big names. I feel like I was just some old hack they found at the back of the teacher's desk. And because Mariella couldn't do the whole day, or John Pienaar or Kathy Newman, they go, I'll give Giles a few hours on Friday afternoon when no one's listening because they're having lunch or something. That's 25 years on the paper. I thought all I'd ever have to do was write, and now I have to talk as well.
Yeah, you've done it before, though, and you're very good at it. I can't wait. I cannot wait for you on a Friday afternoon, Giles, seriously. I mean, it's wall-to-wall gold from a presenter point of view. I think the lineup is fantastic, but, you know, all gold can still do with the odd curveball, pearl in a shell, and that's you, my friend.
I hope so. I mean, we did a pilot. I mean, it must be a long time since you've had to possibly ever, I mean, do 3 hours of your show with nobody listening. Of course, an experience I might have had on talk radio, of course, but when I had a show before. But you know, no one listening, doing it as live for 3 hours to see if it worked. And I think they liked it. And they said, it's great, because every other show, is basically a new show. And they, you know, they have but built around it, apart from Mariella's and stuff. You know, basically, there's rolling stories, there's live news, there's responses. And mine is really just me bibbling on and doing silly voices and whatnot. And yeah, I mean, it's the curveball. It's the opportunity to either turn off or reassess your value generally.
Now, Friday afternoons, I know you love your weekends. I know you love your Fridays. Mm. You're going to be here in central London, which is not where you live at all. And so you're going to be with us in the news tower. You're not going to be doing this remotely from home, are you?
Oh, gosh, no, not at all. I'm sorry I couldn't come in this morning. No. I would have done, but my kids have finally gone back to school after what feels like 15 years.
Right.
And there's all kind of school run, and I'm doing a celebrity interview later today as a pre-record for the first show. But no, I will be absolutely, absolutely in there. Only 1 till 4. It was a bit of a negotiation. I was, 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock, I reckon I can still get out before the traffic, out to the Cotswolds.
Yeah. Well, there may never be any traffic again, Giles, so don't worry about that. I chuckled away there because you said, I'm doing a celebrity interview later on this afternoon. Now, I know who that is with, and I know why it's happening. Would you like to share it with the group? Because this is a brilliant idea.
Oh, yeah. So I have David Baddiel, who is an old pal, and in the times of trying to get celebrity guests, as you getting people into the studio is almost impossible. And so I'm doing it at home, and I can, David is a friend, so he can come round and be in my pod and sit 2 metres away from me at the kitchen table while the producer records this show, which is called Desert Island Crisps. And it's a thing I tried on talk radio, it's unlike any format you've ever heard of. Imagine, it's a massive celebrity. He imagines he's on a desert island. No one's ever thought of it before. And what we do is we tell the story of his life through his 8 most beloved snacks. Okay, you couldn't do it with any format. You couldn't do this with, I don't know, music, for example. It just wouldn't work. But with snacks, you say, so what's your first snack, David? And he says, pickled onion monster munch.
Right.
I go, really? Take us back to 1979. And we go through the curly whirlies and the, you know, this kind of, you know, the the pickled onion monster munches and the Wotsits and that. And we tell, and then at the end, we ask, you know, if you could only have one of these snacks, which one would it be? And he tells us. And then we ask how we get on this desert island. I've got lined up already for the first three shows. I mean, I've had to go with mates in the current crisis. So I've got David Baddiel, then I've got Claudia Winkleman, lovely Claudia, and then I have my brother-in-law, Alexander Armstrong. So I'm a bit stuck for the fourth show. I was wondering what you were up to.
Well, see, I love, it's a great idea, and I've heard you do it before. But the risk of repetition with childhood snacks from a similar demographic, who will be sort of steeped in the same kind of oeuvre of nostalgia, surely is that not something to consider? Because I would go Curly Whirly. I would go Pickled Onion Monster Munch. You know, people, you know, I'm getting sloppy seconds from a content point of view.
Funnily enough, another great radio genius, not in your league, but almost, Tim Level, who's the controller of this whole new channel, that was exactly his concern. Right. So although I'm selling it like that because it sounds most fun and most crazy and will be like that early on, ultimately it will become your food life. So ultimately we'll be talking about... We'll have 6 years. So we'll talk about... With Baddiel, for example, we're doing hot dogs at the football so we can talk about... Euro 96. We're doing his mother's chicken soup so we can talk about his Jewish upbringing, what a terrible cook she was. So we'll probably have one snack in there or two snacks, and then it'll be go-to meals and what do you eat on tour? He loves a British fry up and he tweets pictures of them. So yeah, that was, I argued for about 4 weeks, my producer, going, no, we have to just do snacks. And he said exactly what you said. And I was quite furious. But now that you said it, I accept it.
I like this. But if you were to evolve this into maybe people's favourite music, favourite songs, that could run for a while.
What would you call it? I mean, there's nothing that... Desert Island Records.
Platters That Matter, or...
Yeah, but then you'd know they were just trying to do it with food and were embarrassed that we got there first.
Yeah, I mean, probably
they'd want to rip off our name and they try and rhyme it with Desert Island Chris. They'd probably call it something stupid like Desert Island Discs or something. And,
now,
I mean,
now he said it. See, the law case was only pending, but now we've, now we've actually just said it on the air. Giles, good luck, my friend.
Thank you.
Okay, Giles Cohen, Times Radio, Friday afternoons, 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. Times Radio launches 6 a.m. this Monday, and I cannot wait for Desert Island Crisps and other stunning, stellar, solid gold features from the curveball pearl in the shell that is the genius, the unleashable genius of Giles Corran.
The best of the Chris Evans Breakfast Show with Sky on Virgin Radio.
Thank you so much for listening to this, the podcast of the Virgin Radio Breakfast Show. Don't forget you can subscribe and get it every week from wherever you get your podcast, and you will never miss the weekly roundup of all the best bits from our Virgin Radio Breakfast Show with Sky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.